Welcome to the Fast Cars, Fast Girls podcast with Abby and Molly. Happy New Year's, everybody.
Happy New Year's, everyone. We survived.
We did. As you can hear, I still have a touch of the wine flu from New Year's Eve, so.
It's all right.
Bear with me.
Yeah. Well, let's get into it. I guess I'll do the lion's share, getting us ready. We'll warm up the tires on our first episode of 2018.
All right.
We're going to be talking some news. Jay Fry was busy as fuck over the holiday season. Our main topic today is the Multro safety team.
Oh, right.
Badasses.
They are.
Little shit we didn't make up, which is kind of fun.
It is fun.
And then our woman of the week is Heli Nice. And spoiler alert, she's another feisty broad.
Oh, I love those feisty broads. I
love those feisty broads. So.
Women after our own heart.
You know it. You know it.
So, all right. So, Jay Fry.
Jay Fry's been a little busy. So, we've had about three or four different things, so let's just kind of go down the list. First one is the 500 qualifying points.
Okay.
So those have changed. It used to be if you got the pole, you got 40 points at Indy.
That's a lot. Now, what's the pole at a normal race?
Like one.
Okay. So that's a bit extreme.
It's a little bit.
That's a bit extreme. I mean, I understand it being worth more than other races.
Yeah.
But 40 versus one, that does seem a little bit extreme.
I mean, maybe seven. It's only about 1 point. You get a point for pole. Yeah. The pole bump. That's right. You get the pole bump.
Yeah.
So they are now changing it. So it used to be pole sitter got 40, and then all the way down the line, you got points. Mm-hmm. So your 33rd got 1 point.
Gotcha.
Now it's changed, so the fast nine get the points.
Okay.
So 9-1.
Nobody else gets anything.
Nobody else gets anything.
Okay.
So that's a new change. I mean, you know, we love the 500, but...
We do.
It makes it more fair.
It does. I mean, it makes sense.
It does. I'm not unhappy with this change. No. I mean, maybe other changes.
Yeah.
Speaking of qualifying, so they also changed oval qualifying procedures. So prior to, it was a lottery. You showed up, you picked a number, that was your qualifying procedure. Apparently, drivers got a little pissy. Because it could be that you were a really great driver going out there on a track that, you know, had just been used by, you know, the MRTI guys or IMSA, so the road was still kind of torn up by then, or it was colder, mm-hmm. and you could have had a less experienced driver qualifying later in the afternoon, so the driver said that's not fair. You have people qualifying in better slots who might get bumped up higher in the order, the starting order, because they got to qualify in a better time.
I think that that's just bitching to bitch.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand that they want to reduce randomness, and that's part of this whole thing. It's been a discussion for months at this point.
Yeah.
But if you let the best guys have the best qualifying spots, then where does your underdog story come from?
I mean, it really doesn't.
I mean, if you are lower down in the standings, you have no chance to get ahead.
No.
This is, yeah.
And they're doing it by, and you know, we talked about this, they're doing it by entrant points. And this is from interviews that I've read with Jay Fry. So they're doing it by entrant points, which is different from driver points.
Yeah.
Which I think is a way so that Ed Carpenter doesn't get fucked, but... At the same time, now you're, I don't know, it doesn't fit with the whole idea of people who are consistently good drivers get the best slot to qualify because Ed only runs half-time.
Yeah.
Half-time.
Yeah. So, I mean, he could still get screwed depending on who his road course buddy is.
Yeah.
If his road course buddy does really well, then Ed can have better qualifying. And vice versa. If Ed does really well, then the road course buddy's going to have better qualifying. But if either one of them fuck it up and stuff into a wall, then they're going to fuck over the other person.
Yeah.
Which...
I mean, it goes back to what we've been kind of
saying is that
mumbling and mumbling.
Ed needs to figure out what he wants to be when he grows up. Do you want to be a driver? Or do you want to be a team owner?
Like you tried it. You can't do both.
And
if you're going to be a driver, you need to drive both courses.
Yeah. I mean, that's the way that this.
This is IRL.
Yeah. Or this isn't IRL.
This isn't IRL.
Yeah. This is not IRL.
This is IndyCar.
It's IndyCar. It's a new name. We have road course and ovals.
Yeah. There's no just an oval. NASCAR. Go drive a NASCAR if you want to drive ovals.
Yeah.
There, I said it, Ed. You can drive a NASCAR.
Them's fighting words.
I know.
Them's fighting words.
You're going to fight me.
I would love to see you say that to his face.
I might. If I get I've not been feisty enough if I just haven't been like, you know what?
I'm not going to be the first one to get a restraining order.
That's not a restraining order worth. Now that I will fight in court. Yelling at him about his kids and how much we love him. Telling him to go drive NASCAR isn't, well, it might actually be. It's kind of mean.
I mean, I think that he'd be more offended than that than he was by the fact. Yeah. I mean, I would be.
I know. That's personal. That's about
right? I'd be like, fuck you too.
What?
Matter of fact, I think that should be your goal, is to get Ed to say back to you, fuck you too.
Well, I have a new 2018 resolution.
There we go. Yes.
Oh, crap.
Oh.
Oh. So, I don't know. He keeps saying entrant points. We'll have to see when they put it out.
Yeah, see what the official, yeah. I'm sure they're still working on the language and all that.
If it is driver points, Ed's fucked.
Yeah.
100% Ed is fucked.
Which, I mean, they might be trying to force them to pick one or the other.
They're doing it in a much nicer way than me.
You'd have just been like, you're done.
Bye. Pack it up, buddy. Choose it, one or the other.
Yeah.
And we're not having this part-time bullshit.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I mean, I guess if he wasn't a sole owner, you know, like when he had a team with Sarah Fisher.
Yeah.
You know, Sarah wasn't driving. And so even when Ed was driving, there was still a leadership person behind the scenes at all of the races.
Right.
Whereas, you know, half the time there is, half the time there isn't now. So if you're not sharing that leadership role with anybody, then I don't think it's appropriate for you to.
I don't think so either. I think it fucks up your road course, buddy, by the way. Anyway.
Yeah.
I'm cranky.
Oh, I hear you.
I get feisty about this. They also changed the tire allotments.
Interesting. Oh, I do want to say with the oval qualifying procedure, that does exclude the Indy 500. The Indy 500 will still be random, as it should be.
As it should be.
As God intended.
Thank you.
As God intended.
As God intended, it should still be.
I mean, which I would be very upset if they had changed that.
I think so, too. I think.
And I think part of the reason that they didn't is that you do have the opportunity to re-qualify.
Yeah, which is still amazing.
It is amazing. And you do not have that opportunity at all the tracks. So, I would have been very upset had they changed it for the Indy.
By the way, I think we're going to get bumps.
I think so, too.
I've not done the math, but I think we're going to get bumping.
We're getting close.
Yeah, we need like 3 more people and then we're in bump territory. And I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
And a few, like I know a couple of NASCAR people have made mention that they might try and do it this year.
Awesome.
So we'll see.
I love it. We have bumps.
I know. It adds drama to it. An already drama-filled day.
Yes. Well, and I think that you're going to have better fan turnout.
Yeah.
You know, because it's exciting to see where everybody places, but, you know, at the end of the day, there's something to be said for witnessing somebody getting their heart broken and getting bumped out of the field. I mean, it does add an extra level of excitement. I mean, let's just be honest, okay?
It's a little Schadenfreude.
It's like the Romans in the Colosseum. We all have a little bit of darkness in us where we want to watch something that's a little fucked up.
I mean, they're not getting crashed, so that's fine, but they are going home.
Yeah.
You pack up your bags and go home. Thank you.
Do not pass go. Nope. Do not collect $200.
Nope.
You go straight the fuck home.
Nope, not going to happen.
All right, back to tire allotment.
Back to tire allotment. So they've also changed this. So it used to be that all drivers had the opportunity on a road course, road or street course, because it's both, but I think calling it a road course counts.
Yeah.
To purchase an extra set of tires for practice sessions.
Okay.
So they've changed it now, so drivers outside of the top 10 can purchase extra tires, and rookies will still get the extra rookie tires. Yes, I said that correctly.
Yep.
It's weird to say it that way.
Yeah.
I write rules for a living now, and I was like, well, I would have written it differently, but okay. I'm not Jay Fry. It's fine. But Jay Fry, should you need somebody? Hello. I have a JD. It's fine. Anyway, so that's the big change, is that they are exempt. So top 10 drivers don't get to purchase extra tires.
Interesting.
I think that will curtail your better drivers practicing more.
Yeah.
I think that'll make them not go out as long for practice, and people won't be as interested.
I agree.
Yeah. I don't think this is the greatest rule change. I don't like it.
No. And, I mean, it's part of that to combat the leg up that they have from the new qualifying procedures.
Well, it's different because...
Although, because it's road courses. Yeah. Yeah. So...
It's... I don't... And they kept trying to talk about how it'll increase competition, which I suppose it will, kind of. It will give your under drivers not really even a leg up, because they still have to purchase the tire. They don't just get them for free.
Yeah.
And if you're a lesser performing driver, you know, probably you won't have as many sponsors. You won't have that kind of cash pool to pull
so
from.
So you may not be able to even purchase them.
Yeah.
You know, although you have the ability to.
Right.
But yeah, that's interesting. I think it is going to cut down on your top drivers qualifying. And like, although I think that having on ovals the best people qualifying the best spots, I think that that is very close to like nepotism.
True.
In this case, I think that you're kind of screwing over the people that do well. You know, this isn't about qualifying. This is about actually on the course. This is an equipment issue.
Yeah.
Not an order issue. And so, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how I feel about this.
Yeah. Again, you know, I'm kind of withholding. I don't like it. I'd like to see how it's written again.
Yeah.
Because that's how I live my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, they did indicate that, I guess, on courses, there's been some courses where you get more tires or less tires, so they've added an extra set of primary tires for Phoenix, Detroit, Texas, Iowa, and Toronto.
Okay.
So it's not just, yeah, we're going to add more. And I think that's because Firestone and everybody had looked at it and decided they needed extra tires there.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. Also, my bad, time before, it's Stingray Rob.
Okay. Not Sideshow Bob.
Not Sideshow Bob, which I still think, like,
I think we should just call Stingray Rob Sideshow Bob.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. I like that. I mean, also, he really needs to become an IndyCar driver, because that's an amazing name.
Right? Stingray Rob.
The merchandise sells itself.
Yeah.
I would buy a shirt that says, "Let's go Stingray."
I mean, I'm immediately a fan.
I'm 100%.
And everything should have stingrays on it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although, didn't they kill Steve Irwin?
Well, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you spend enough time around dangerous animals.
It's gonna happen. It's gonna happen.
It's a statistical.
R.I.P.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Steve.
R.I.P. Steve. I do love Steve Irwin.
Who doesn't? Teams will start testing on Monday, January 8th.
Okay.
So, I wrote that down because I forgot about it.
All right.
All right. You know what time it is? It's time to talk about the safety team.
Safety.
Which already we're excited about.
Already.
So the Hamaltra safety team. First of all, I want to plug the documentary Yellow, Yellow, Yellow.
Yes.
Which is always hard for me to say. It's Amazon Prime. It's about 45 minutes. So if you have Amazon Prime, it's included in it. Watch it. It does a very good job of describing like what they do, how they do it, their research in the off-season. They spent a lot of time on Hinchcliffe's crash from 2 years ago now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they really kind of dissect what all they did in that crash and how they've actually changed things from that crash.
Interesting.
So I recommend it. There's also, probably once you finish it, there's another one on F1 and their safety development.
Very cool.
Which I don't remember, but I watched it late one night and I was like, this is cool.
I think it's just called One.
I think you're right.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure I added it to my Amazon queue this week.
Yeah, it's a good documentary. It's worth the watch.
Yeah.
That one spans a lot more of F1's history of safety.
Yeah.
Mario does make a few little appearances, and I was like, oh, I know that one. I mean, you know some. We know some F1 drivers just because there's bleed over. So anyway, back to Hamaltra.
Yes.
So they are the trackside safety team, and they are at every IndyCar event. So they are IndyCar's safety team. So they travel to each race, and I think that is what makes IndyCar very unique, is that they have their own safety team. I believe NHRA has something similar.
I think you're correct.
Yeah.
Well, and it didn't used to be this way, always. It would be, you know, each track would have a local team.
Yeah.
And they found that you don't have the best outcomes when you have people that just do it once a year.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, which just makes sense.
Yeah.
You could be very good at something, but if you don't do it all the time, you're going to lose some technical skills.
Definitely.
Until you practice those skills again. So I think that it's definitely better for the drivers and the spectators and all that, and for safety in general, to have a team that travels with them.
And I think it helps, like, the drivers know then who's out there with them.
Yes.
Like, you, I would imagine you just get to know these people.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know, you look up, hey, Steve, I don't know.
Right.
How you doing? So they have been with IndyCar since 1966, and Hamaltra was actually, they don't really just do safety. They're like a hydraulic company, and they specialize in like this advanced sort of hydraulic search and rescue and safety equipment.
Very cool.
So not like the shit in your car, but like the shit that like a mine has collapsed and we need to get in there. Or I think they probably do some nautical stuff or industry safety. So it's exciting that they've teamed with IndyCar.
That is. So that was kind of, I mean, search and rescue and safety and all that was kind of their specialty.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then they started teaming with IndyCar in 96.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're an 8-person team.
So you 18. 18 or 8?
18.
Okay.
Yep. 18-person team. And I think these are the people who are at every track.
Yeah.
So there's your general team, and that includes a trauma physician, an orthopedic physician, obviously, two paramedics, 12 firefighters who are also EMTs, and two RNs. What we're used to seeing, though, is that 4-person car.
Yeah.
So a lot of more of the medical personnel aren't in those orange cars that we see.
Correct.
So the orange cars are your firefighter EMTs.
Mm-hmm.
And they do have sort of like a response car just of your doctors.
Yes.
Which makes sense. You kind of want to have that car in the centralized location kind of posting up.
Yeah.
And the trucks and everything else are posted around the track.
Yeah.
So they do the medical response, which is what we're used to seeing. The paramedics, you know, they're there on the site. You know, the guy whose job is literally to jump on the nose of the car and, like, make eye contact with the driver.
Yeah.
I like to watch that guy.
I do, too.
He's, like, running, and, like, he straddles it, and you can just see him, like, what's going on?
Right. And it's also, I mean, I'm sure that that's comforting as a driver to see, like, there's one person that's like, we got you.
Like,
we're here.
Hey, bro.
Right? Like, well, I mean, like, we've talked that awful crash with Simone DeSilvestro,
yeah,
where her car was on fire and they were having trouble getting her out. Like, there was one guy that was, like, still the whole time was like,
we're gonna get you out.
Yeah. Like, you know, because you can see she's starting to freak out at the end, which, I mean, car's on fire.
There's a fire.
She's surrounded by flames, you know, and so it's, I think that that's a good thing.
I think so, too. I think so, too. They also do, like, technical response.
Yeah.
So they start the stalled cars, they are the ones who jack the cars, and they tow it away.
Yes.
And they also clean up the track.
They do.
Yeah. So, you know, they're kind of fun.
Yeah. Kind of jack of all trades there.
It's kind of nice, and they do, so I guess they probably run drills, because each person has, like, a specific duty of what they're going to do.
Oh, definitely.
So, and then in the off season, and if you watch the documentary, you learn about this, they do a lot of research.
Very cool.
Like how to make everything safe.
Excellent.
Yeah. I don't know. You might want to think about joining them.
I know, right? I get to go to all the races.
But you would have to hang out in the car, though. See, it goes back to
our... In the infield. I know.
So like to, but then we're like...
And I'd have to be sober the whole time.
But we can't watch the race.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, what I have to laugh, and this is just because... What I used to do, they're talking in the documentary, is that, you know, so IndyCar is based here in Indiana. So their medical director and everything like that is a licensed doctor in the state of Indiana. Obviously, when they go out of state, they kind of have to rely on somebody else.
Oh, yeah.
I had to giggle a little bit. I was like, they should get them licensed in all of the states that they race in. It's not that hard. Again, I'm offering my ability.
Yeah.
I actually can
do this. I'm happy to do consultation.
Happy to do a legal consultation on getting your doctor's license in other states. I got this. This is what I used to
do. I would think for something like this that you wouldn't have too many hiccups.
Shouldn't be. And I would imagine, like, your big hiccups is, like, you might have gotten in some trouble. And I don't think, if your sole job is primarily to be the medical consult for IndyCar, you're not out there getting in trouble.
Yeah.
I'm feeling like it's a smooth sailing.
Yeah.
So,
like, your license is completely unencumbered.
Yes, I believe that they should just do that. And that way, your doctors can travel with you.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Mm-hmm. I don't know about the EMT licenses, though.
I don't know that either.
Yeah. I bet it's something they could also work on.
Yeah.
Guessing.
Yeah. Yeah, because I don't know how that works, if that transfers state to state. Or...
I don't know, because it's done by something completely...
Yeah.
It's wonky.
Well, I know that they're, like... So for emergency times, like after hurricanes and things like that, they will waive the license requirements to go to another state. You know, if they are short on medical personnel, the governor can make like an executive order that says you don't have to have a Florida license or a Texas license or whatever. Like if you have a nursing license or if you're a doctor, like just calm down, please.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, for a normal job, you'd have to go through all the correct channels and all that. So I wonder if, I mean, it's not an emergency, but since it's like a one-off, if there's some sort of special.
There could be. It would indicate each state would have to do something, though.
Yeah.
So that's
unlikely.
That's a cluster.
Okay. It is a cluster.
When you're dealing with state legislatures, just don't.
Just don't.
No. Well.
It's time.
Yep.
Shit we didn't make up.
Well, so we left the pace cars.
We do.
We talked about the pace cars 2 episodes ago, so you should listen to that one.
Yes.
Also listen to last episode.
Definitely.
We talked and got our interview on with the Indy 500 Pirate.
The Indy 500 Pirate.
Because you have to hear the squirrel story.
You have to hear the squirrel story.
If you don't hear the squirrel story, I don't think we can be friends.
No.
You can still listen. Still be a listener, but we cannot be friends.
We cannot be friends. That is correct. Oh.
So continuing on our talk about pace cars.
Yes.
So in 1971, the pace car for the race crashed.
It's got to make you feel like a real asshole.
I mean, there's got to be a moment when that happens. You know, the driver just kind of like sat in the car for a minute and went,
God damn it.
Shit, you had one job.
Right? Like.
One job.
The rest of my life, I will never live this down.
You'll be known as the guy who crashed the pace car. So it was 1971. It was a Dodge Charger. Somebody won Dodge Charger?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, okay, let's go. Eldon Palmer, who was a local car dealership owner. I don't know if the Palmer Dodge, I don't think if they're Palmer Jeep and Dodge. Are they still?
I don't know.
It sounds familiar, but they might not be anymore. So he was the driver. So then you had Tony Holman George Jr. as the passenger.
Mm-hmm.
Then John Glenn, the astronaut, was sitting in the back seat. And then some broadcaster, Chris Schneckel, was also in there. Pulled in from leading one of the parade laps. I watched the footage. That's what I'm gathering. The brakes locked up. And the car slid down pit lane and crashed right into the photographer's stand.
Oh, my God.
I know. I'm sorry. You're going about 60 miles an hour, too.
Holy shit.
I know. I would be like, that's not even acceptable pit lane speed.
No.
He was pit lane speed violation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because I feel like at some point, you would have had to slow down when you entered.
Well, I think it is 60 in pit lane.
Is it 60? He was still going too fast.
Yeah.
He's going 60 about the time he hit that stand.
Yeah.
Like, that's not adding up. Your math's not adding up, buddy. Nobody died, so we can laugh about this. And just one journalist broke his hip and his leg.
Wow.
Damn. I just, like, it's, I'm sad that it happened, but like.
So you get workman's comp for that?
I don't know. Well, he probably signed that ticket.
No, that's true. Sign a waiver.
Death might occur.
Well, but his employer.
I bet he could go after the employer for that.
Yeah.
I bet he'd go after the employer.
Yeah.
Not the IMS.
No, the IMS.
You might lose a limb. You might die. We ain't paying for shit.
You will not be able to sue, however.
We are indemnified. Forever. So, the practice is the winner gets the pace car.
Yeah.
Obviously not this one.
Nope.
No. But it is in a museum in Florida.
Interesting.
We might have to find it if it's near Daytona.
Yeah, I think we are going to have to find
it. Or St. Pete. Might have to find it.
Might have to check it out.
Might have to check it out.
That's pretty funny.
It is, isn't it?
It really is. I think that's the only pace car that's crashed, isn't it?
I think so, yes.
Yeah.
It's the only one. I mean, how do you live that down? You just don't.
You don't.
You are known as the guy who crashed the pace car.
Yeah.
Unreal.
How much does that suck, too, that, like, he was an indie local?
I know, like, he had a car.
At least if he, like, was from out of town.
We would have been like, stupid out-of-towners.
Right? But, like, well, and also here, like, everybody in Indianapolis knows about the Indy 500, and so, like, that was huge news. So, you know, like, everybody knew who that guy was at the time.
Like,
oh, that's the asshole that crashed the pace car.
See, who crashed. Hey, buddy, nice driving.
Right.
You know, they're like, nice driving, AJ Foyt.
That's funny. Well, I'm glad that there weren't more injuries.
Yeah. Speaking of drivers who are not, The Bachelor started.
The Bachelor did start. I actually watched it last night with my mom.
Did you really?
Well, yeah. Because she was going to watch it regardless, so.
How did it go? I did not watch it.
It went pretty well. I mean, Ari is very nice to look at.
I saw on Twitter that some chick showed up in an Indy car.
Yes. She showed up in a two-seater.
What the shit?
Yeah, somebody else was driving, but it was an official two-seater. Like, it had the IndyCar logo on it and everything.
How'd she get a two-seater?
So, they each get to do... So, it used to be that, like, you would just, like, get dropped off and walk up and introduce yourself and go in.
Okay.
And now, since, I mean, this show's been on for, like, I don't know, 10 years or longer, they all do these little gimmicks so that they're more memorable. Because he sends people home the very first night.
Okay.
So, you want to stand out. So, a lot of people, like, will bring gifts or, like, show up, you know...
Flashy.
So, like, there was one girl that showed up in, like, a 65 Ford Mustang convertible.
I'm not mad at that.
No. And I was like, that girl's got it. Until the bitch rolled up in the two-seater. Which I had said to Mom prior to that. I was like, if I was on the show, I was like, I'd roll up in an Indy car.
I'd have been like, let's go.
And I'll tell you what, like, and she was the last person he gave a rose to. And I was like, and she, you know, of course, you know, they build up the drama. Right. But I was like, obviously he's picking her. Like, you can't show up in an Indy car two-seater to meet an Indy car driver and not get a rose.
No.
But yeah, it was, I mean, it was a spectacular entrance, like, cause she rolls up, she's in the back, she's in the, a nice, like, royal blue dress, but she's got a helmet on and everything, and she, like, takes the helmet off and has, like, long, gorgeous blonde hair, does a couple shakes, and then, like, walks over. Like, it was, it was absolute perfection.
Damn.
I was like, yeah.
No, okay.
Yeah. You'd get the first impression rose from me. she did not get the first impression rose and went to some bitch, who... I mean, I know that they show, like, the worst parts of people, but this girl is going to be drama the entire series. Like, she was talking shit when there were only five women there. She was already talking shit about the other contestants.
Oh, my God.
And, yeah, she's going to be hateful. So, yeah.
Okay.
But overall, yeah, it started out pretty good.
Yeah, last night Twitter was either The Bachelor or the football game.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, which, yeah, apparently Ari's a realtor now.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought that was an interesting choice.
Okay.
And I will just say this. I said this to Mom last night. I was like, he's beautiful. And he's 36.
Okay.
And he seems like a very nice guy on TV, but we don't really know what he's like in real life. And I was like, I almost wondered if there's something really weird about him because, granted, he didn't race for that long, but, you know, being in that life and that, like,
yeah.
You don't really stay single that long. As a driver, it's pretty rare to be 36 and single. And so that kind of makes me wonder why.
Oh, God.
And he was on The Bachelorette 5 years ago.
That's true.
And is still single, you know, 5 years later. Obviously, that's why he's on now. And so just really, it concerns me.
I have a concern.
I have a concern that there is something...
Like, weird?
Weird. Very weird. Yeah, I'm like, is it, like, a weird fetish?
I was about to say, is he into some weird shit that we don't know about? We're not saying he is, but maybe.
I mean, maybe he is into weird shit, literally, like corporeophilia.
Well, perhaps.
If you don't know what that is, that's people who like to be pooped on. They are sexually aroused by feces.
Which is...
It's an immediate deal breaker.
Yeah, I mean, no.
It's disgusting. I mean, if you're into it and you're consenting adults, live your life. No judgment.
No
but for me, it's a no-go.
No.
It's a non-starter.
No. Hey, I'm into poop. Hey, I gotta go.
No.
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 No, just leave.
I mean, I can barely handle it at work. I vomited twice in patient rooms.
I'm saying, you're a nurse.
And I'm a nurse.
Right? Like, a lot of people think, like, nurses are into that. I don't believe that they are.
No.
No.
We all have a body fluid that we can't handle, and poop is mine. So I'm interested to see how this season goes and everything. But yeah, I'm like, I almost want to like find exes of Ari's and be like, okay, why didn't it work out?
What's the deal?
Now I want to know.
Let's analyze the relationship.
Right. And I realize that I should say that less judgy considering I'm 33 and have never been married.
Because you're talking about this. I'm like,
I know. Cause it's like, there's a point where it's like, you know, you're looking at people and you're like, damn, you're this old and you've never had a serious relationship or never been married. Like something's obviously fucking wrong with you. But then it's like, I look in the mirror and I'm like, you're no spring chicken either. people are going to think the same thing about you too.
The exact same thing. No, I get it.
So,
and
maybe he's a perfectly nice guy and just hasn't met anybody like us.
Perhaps. I mean, I don't know. He is a little older than us, so I think we have a little wiggle room. A
little bit.
A couple of years, that's it.
Yeah.
Also, speaking of reality TV, so this will be coming out on Wednesday the 3rd.
Which, The Amazing Race.
Oh my god, hashtag Team IndyCar.
Hashtag Team IndyCar.
Ish. Yeah. Hashtag Team IndyCar driver and his diabetic friend.
And his roommate.
And his former roommate. Oh no, they are roommates.
Yep.
Hashtag, can we get Connor a ride?
Yes. Hashtag Connor car watch.
For realsies though.
Yeah.
But so that's starting off. It looks good. I don't know.
It does.
Connor said in one interview he's the, quote, king of the one-liners. So I'm very excited.
All right.
I'm very excited. I think we're going to see... We see a lot of Connor's personality, which is great. I don't think... You know, Rossi's got that more reserved.
He does.
So I'm hopeful we get to see a bit more of that.
Yeah, I'm excited to see how he is. And also to see him with Connor, since they are good friends. You know, to see him... How he interacts. And
so, like, page six, which I never thought I would utter the words page six and IndyCar in the same paragraph.
Yeah.
They put out an article just today about how, like, the two roommates fought like, they would fight a lot, and then they would, but then they're like, yeah, we would fight, but then we would solve it and go on about our merry way. And I was like, that makes sense.
Yeah.
No, absolutely makes sense.
Yeah.
In being an IndyCar driver, there's that sort of alpha feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to argue, you're going to solve it and move on.
Yeah. All right, done.
So I cannot wait.
I'm very excited.
I don't have the cables, but I will be watching it somehow. Yes. I think it's on... You could catch it the next day on CBS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, CBS.com. You totally can.
Or Hulu.
No, CBS is not available on Hulu.
Damn it. I can never remember.
It's, yeah, it's what? The one that none of their shows are available on Hulu. Never have been.
Okay, well, please get your shit together,
CBS. I know. But yeah, well, I'll keep them recorded at my house just in case you miss any.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
I got your back.
We'll probably be tweeting about shit. It will not be a live tweet.
No.
No, that's not going to happen.
I'm not going to watch it live.
I'm not. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
I will be ruined by Twitter, though. I'm sure.
Yes.
I don't...
Well, I guess I'm not really that into the show, so it doesn't really matter.
Right, like, I'm not... I hope they do well.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm hopeful that people will tweet out, like, funny parts, which I will immediately retweet.
Oh, yeah.
Because I will look for it. And speaking of which... You can find... I'll carry on for you because you're sick.
All right.
Our Twitter is @fastcarsin317. It's I-N. Instagram is @fastcarsfastgirls. Our Facebook page is, again, Fast Cars, Fast Girls. You can search for that. Or you go to facebook.com/fastcarsfastgirls. And we have a website.
We have a website.
That's up and running. It's... www.fastcarsfastgirls.com. You can actually listen to our episodes right from our website.
You sure can. You can listen there and you can subscribe there.
You can. I put it all there for you. You can also listen from our Facebook because I learned how to put it on our Facebook feed.
Hell yeah.
I know.
Nicely done.
I just clicked a button. We should all realize I just clicked. Yeah, go ahead and share this on Facebook. Yes.
So
easy peasy.
Lemon squeezy.
It's also on our YouTube. We also have a YouTube channel.
We do have a YouTube.
Again, Fast Cars, Fast Girls. We try and make things very easy here. It just helps. So check us out.
I think that you can tell that from our title.
Yeah. Oh. snap. You got me. So check it out. Also, please subscribe, rate, review, and share.
Yes.
Perhaps your New Year's resolution is to really get involved with this podcast, and I'm okay with that.
In fact, I think that should be your New Year's resolution.
Should be. If you haven't thought of one yet.
Yeah. If you want something easy, you don't want to go to the gym right now because everybody that says they're going to lose weight is going to be just...
It's horrible.
It's going to be horrible for the next month.
I hate it.
Maybe you're going to start working out in February. I get that.
That's cool.
In the meantime, get into this podcast and then you can listen while you're at the gym.
That's like
in February after everybody else has quit.
Yes. And also, it's really cold right now, so you don't want to go outside.
It's so fucking cold.
It's so flipping
cold. Oh, I'm gonna die. Gosh.
I hate Indiana sometimes.
We haven't had weather this cold in a long time.
It's been a couple... I was in law school when it was this bad.
Yeah.
Because I had to go outside.
There was, let me think, like the beginning of... End of 2013, beginning of 2014 was the first year that I lived in Fort Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
And it was that cold up there. Like, we had... multiple, like, two straight weeks of, like, actual temperatures below zero,
yeah,
wind chill of, like, negative 35 plus. And I know that because the thermostat in my Beamer registers negative 35, was the lowest that it registered.
So.
And it got colder than that and it broke. And so it no longer registers the outside temperature. It just says negative 35 all the time. And so it's a constant reminder of my poor choice to move to Fort Wayne on a year that was one of the coldest and almost the snowiest on record.
Oh, God, I remember that year.
Yeah, and I was like, I've lost the ability to make good decisions.
Yeah, yeah, it's okay.
So, but yeah, it's fucking freezing. We're finally out of the wind chill warning today.
Finally.
So you can be outside for longer than 10 minutes without fearing frostbite.
I will go ahead and say I think it's coming back. Like, tomorrow is supposed to be fine, but Thursday, Friday, just in time for family to come in, is supposed to be shitty again.
Yeah.
I can't even keep them.
Yeah. But I don't mind the snow. If it's going to be cold, I want snow.
Thank you.
I will say that. Yeah. I hate it to just be cold and nothing.
Yeah. I mean, at least give me something.
Yeah, at least the snow is pretty. So I'm not upset about that at all.
I'm not. It's okay.
No.
It's okay. Okay. Well, let's continue on to our woman of the week.
Yes.
Heli Nice, or Hella Nice.
Hella Nice.
Hella Nice, which I have giggled every time I write it.
Yeah.
Hella Nice. Again, this is a very feisty broad.
Yes.
Very feisty, because before she was a driver, she was a dancer, a nude model.
Nice.
And she was the lead dancer at the Casino de Paris.
Mm.
So, you know, that bitch had skills.
Yeah, she did.
And I'm betting that's like a can-can dancer, too, so...
Yeah.
Nudity probably was also involved in the dance.
Oh, I'm sure it was topless.
Yeah, I'm 100% on that one.
Yeah. I mean, which, if you've ever been to Vegas, you know, I mean, they're very classy topless shows.
Right. And that's what it is, like... Yeah, I'm sure, like, the Moulin Rouge, although the Moulin Rouge is much more campy now, but...
Yes, it used to be, yeah.
It's still classy, but it's more campy classy.
Yeah.
But this was, like, way back when it was really cool. So...
Well, and it's Europe, and they just have never been as weird about nudity as we have been here.
Weird about it. It's fine. I mean...
Yeah.
Do you...
Yeah, we get super weird here in the States about it.
We do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I say, I missed out on that, even though I'm an American. I have nothing weird about nudity. I think it's from years of being a swimmer.
I think so.
Like, changing in a locker room, like, if you're changing after a basketball game, like, all your undergarments are staying on. You're a competitive swimmer. Everybody's stripping down to nothing to put on a swimsuit. And a competitive swimsuit is usually, like, two sizes too small. So you're not just, like, putting it on gracefully. You're, like, jumping around and squeezing all of your bits into the spandex lycra thing.
That's true. That's true.
So, yeah. I mean, you're just naked in front of enough people and you just don't care anymore.
Yeah, that's kind of, I mean, we didn't get fully naked in marching band, but when you have to change in and out.
Yeah.
Those uniforms are hot. You're not wearing a lot underneath them.
No, you're not.
Let everybody in on that secret about marching band, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bike shorts and,
Strappy tanks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's basically it.
That was it.
And no underwear. The bike shorts count as underwear.
Thank you.
Because I need it for the thighs so I don't chafe in the polyester band uniform. But I'm not trying to add extra layers when I'm in a polyester band uniform.
No.
And marching in 90-degree weather.
Nobody wants that.
Not having it.
No. So anyway, back to Hella.
Back to Hella Nice.
Back to Hella Nice. Jeez. I even took French. My French teacher's so upset with me.
Hella Nice.
Hella Nice. She got into racing because she was in Paris in the 1920s, and so that was a big car culture at that time.
Oh, yeah.
So one of the things that used to happen were that automobile manufacturers basically just let pretty people drive cars. And they were called concours d'élégance, or processions of elegance. And they would also let really pretty people drive cars in amateur races.
Awesome.
Yeah, I was like, okay.
I mean, like, super entertaining. Big recipe for disaster, but I'm into it.
I mean,
I'd watch it. I'd race in it.
Yeah.
Like,
let's go.
Yeah.
Let's try this. Plus, so this was also post, you know, right around World War I ending. So you had the male population of France really got kicked out a lot in World War I.
Yeah.
Just put that out there.
Yeah.
So it was easier for women to kind of enter into these more predominantly male roles.
Makes sense.
Male interests, like sportsmanship and things like that. Plus, you know, when she was dancing, she made friends with some automobile dealers.
Yep.
She was networking. I mean.
Well, yeah. I mean, she was the lead dancer at the Casino de Paris.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she had this whole history of being a nude model and all that. And so it's like she was well known. And when you're the lead dancer at a casino like that, which I'm sure was pretty good-sized casino at the time in the capital of France, you're going to have bigwigs coming in and out.
Yeah.
And so they're going to know you. You're going to know them.
you, and then you'd be like, hey, I like your car. And be like, would you like to drive it? And the answer to that question is always yes.
We.
Oui.
We. Oui.
Nice.
Thank you.
Nice. God, we have to stop. So in 1929, she also was a skier, and she got an injury that ended her dancing career.
Oh.
But it really started her racing career, because in that same year, she won the Grand Prix of the Third Journée Féminine.
All right.
So it's a women's only Grand Prix.
Okay.
So she won it, and that was really her first year as a dedicated to racing.
That's awesome.
So out of the gate. She also broke the then, obviously, land speed record for women.
Wow.
123 miles per hour.
Which, that's pretty damn impressive in 29.
That is. I'm thinking, it might have been kilometers per, no, it's miles per hour.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have not written that wrong. So,
no, you wouldn't have.
No, that one I wouldn't. 31 to 36, she drove for the Bugatti team.
Okay.
Because she obviously became besties with the guy who ran the Bugatti team.
Yeah.
As she did with everybody.
Yeah.
She was networking.
Ain't yeah, she was.
That. Amen. So she joined their driver lineup, which prior to that had been an all-male lineup.
Oh, so she was the first woman there.
She's one of the first, again, one of the very first women to get out there and drive. She had a pretty good, solid career. I mean, she wasn't top, but she also wasn't last all the time.
Yeah.
So she did very well until 1936.
Okay.
Where she had a crash in the Grand Prix in São Paulo, Brazil.
Oh.
Somebody was cleaning. So cars are on the track. Somebody is clearing shit off the track, which is bad. So
yeah.
She swerves to avoid this guy, ends up hitting something, somersaulted into the grandstands.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was kind of actually horrific. Four were killed. Many more were injured. Niece was actually tossed out of her car and landed on, like, a soldier there.
Wow.
Who died. And then she was in the hospital for a few months.
Wow.
That really, really kind of ended her racing.
Yeah.
Because shortly after that, obviously the rumblings of World War II started.
Mm-hmm.
She tried post-World War II. What is very interesting is that a rival driver accused her of being a Nazi agent.
Really?
Yeah. So there's actually a book coming out about her that I think I'm going to buy and read.
Yeah.
They weren't able to provide actual evidence that she was a Nazi agent, but they also don't have, like, really strong evidence that she wasn't. It's that weird gray area.
Well, I think that unless you...
I mean, I feel
unless
like,
you expect to be accused of that,
you,
it's
yeah, like,
pretty
you
hard
have to, be like,
to have evidence to refute it, you
and
know?
Like, here's an affidavit of me not being a not, like,
right? Well, yeah, like, when, so another podcast that I've listened to, Serial.
Yeah.
And if anybody's listened to that, so they talk about, a guy, Adnan, who was accused of, killing his ex-girlfriend in high school. And, you know, they come back months later and are like, where were you on this Tuesday at this time? Well, unless you were doing something you shouldn't have, and you specifically know to have an alibi for that time,
yeah.
How the fuck do I remember what I was doing 3 months ago Tuesday? And so, yeah, I think that it is a very gray area.
It's a very gray area. Because
I think that it's almost more suspect if you have an alibi and
you're like, no, I was
no
here.
I was watching TV and blah blah blah, you know,
it was
reading a book on yeah
blah blah blah, and we're like
It's like, why do you know that so specifically? Unless
yeah.
There's a reason for you to know it.
Yeah, so it's kind of, I mean, there's some indication that she might have been, but nobody can say for sure.
Yeah,
so obviously that kind of kills you doing anything once somebody accuses you of being a Nazi.
Well, yeah, at that time.
Yeah, at that time. And you can't really just say, like, no, I'm not a Nazi, and here's my proof.
Yeah.
Again, who has I'm not a Nazi proof? I don't.
I don't.
I mean, I'm not, but I don't.
Yeah.
So it kind of ruined her career, and she actually died relatively unknown. This all came to light. There's a book coming out. Somebody found some paper, and, like, this journalist just went on this rabbit hole, so...
Interesting.
I'm interested to read the book.
I am too.
I don't remember what it's called.
Well, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
I wonder, I'll look and see if it's available on, like, the Kindle store on Amazon.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to get that from my Kindle.
Well, I say we could get it on audio and listen to it on our drive down.
Oh, yeah, we can.
Because we're about to take the shit show on the road again.
Going on the road. Road trips are starting. Ooh, they started early this year.
They did start early this year, but it's okay because I'm ready for a vacation.
Yeah, I need to move.
Yeah.
Not move, but, like,
Yeah.
As my mom would say, get up and blow the stink off.
Yeah.
Just, yeah, shake the dirt off, go yeah. somewhere. Yeah.
Time to get out of the state for a little bit.
Yeah.
Fuck. So we're going to go to the Rolex 24 in Daytona at the end of January.
Just a couple more weeks.
I know.
Like, this upcoming weekend is the Roar at the 24, so it's like their pre-race where everybody kind of gets slotted. I'm excited.
Very excited. I think a lot of people... 3 weeks away.
I know. Oh, God.
Yeah, I know. I was like, fuck, I got to get everything together. I got to get the tent. I got to make sure the air mattress is cool.
I got to go start the list of packing.
I've already started a list.
I have two, but it's basically warm clothes. Boots.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. This polar vortex fucks us on Daytona.
I'm going to be so mad.
I mean,
there's just going to be a lot of Facebook and Twitter live stories. Just me grumbly sitting in the background. Just yelling.
I mean, like, let me be clear. There is a point where it's going to be so cold that we sleep in your car with your car running.
No, I agree.
And we will just split the gas, or I'll even foot the bill. No, I don't care. I hate to be cold.
No, I'm with you.
I have zero tolerance for being cold.
I know.
It makes me cranky. I know. It makes me even crankier than when I have to pee. And that's a, like, some people get hangry. I don't get hangry. I don't get angry when I'm hungry. Like, I'm just like, okay, like, I'm ready to eat, guys, whatever. But, like, if I have to pee, I have to wait. I get cranky with that. But being cold,
Nah.
No, and, like, I don't care about anything. Like, I'll be the worst networker. I'll be like, so-and-so. That's nice.
Move. I'm warm.
Right, I'd be like, this would be me the entire time.
Yep. Oh, God.
Just
angry kid. It would be us, and you could probably put the picture of the grumpy cat.
Yes, it would be total grumpy cat.
It'd be grumpy cats, but I'm excited. Hopefully it's warmer.
I hope so.
So we can have that to listen to. We should. I've got some stuff we can listen to.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you finished Janet Guthrie's book already?
I have not.
Okay.
I was also thinking we could also, like, just mainstream Dinner with Racers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should definitely do a lot
of those.
I've
actually not listened. I was like, man, we got 14 hours coming up.
Yeah. Oh, that'll be good.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got a lot of time.
Yeah. I mean, we'll nap. Not at the same time.
Not at the same time, no. And the benefit is that we have two different sleep schedules, so.
That is what is helpful for us.
Yeah. I think that we'll be able to knock it out in one day.
Oh, yeah. I'm not worried about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that's going to happen.
I mean, hell, I've done 12 hours by myself.
Yeah, like, I can do, I mean, I've done Ohio. I did Ohio by myself.
Yeah.
You were asleep.
Yeah, I was.
That's about safe.
Well, and I did, like, from here to New York City by myself.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine.
Yeah, it's not bad.
I like long drives.
I do, too.
I'm weird.
We both like to road trip.
I know. Like, when they keep talking about those rallies where you have to drive from, like, point A to point B in the quickest time, I was like, that's my call.
I'm so, like, that's my jam.
That's my goal. I'm like, can I listen to some music?
Right? Like,
Can I put on a podcast? Okay, cool. Let's go.
Is it against the rules if I get us a Foley catheter so that we don't have to stop for bathroom breaks?
Well, I mean, we'll be fine.
If it's not specifically banned.
If it's not specific, how are you going to enforce it?
Thank you. Thank you.
How are you going to enforce it? We should get a shirt that says.
Oh.
One day when we are famous. That's going to be a shirt.
Oh, it is going to be a shirt. I was saying that at work last week, but I'll tell that story out here. But yeah, it was the just was, how are you going to enforce it?
But how are you going to enforce it?
I mean, that's the theme of my life.
That is the theme of your life.
How are you going to enforce it?
Exactly.
Make all the rules you want. How are you going to enforce it, though?
But how are you going to enforce
it? If I can't see how you can enforce it, I'm not going to follow it. If I can't see how you're going to enforce it and I think it's dumb.
True.
If it's a good rule, I'm going to follow it.
I'll allow it.
But if I think it's dumb and you have no way to enforce it.
Not happening.
Right?
Not happening.
Like that random guy that was guarding the lockers that 1 year who wanted us to, like, scoot away. And I was like, no. Like, I wouldn't scoot away until he admitted that he, in fact, had no power.
I know. And he was.
I was like, I just want to hear you say it. He was like, all right, fine. I have no power. And I was like.
Because he was not a yellow shirt.
Yeah. I was like, you have no badge. You're not a yellow shirt and you're not a police officer.
Yeah. You have no authority.
You have no authority here.
You have no power here. Anyway, on to our white flags. What do you got?
So,
ooh, what's your resolution? Do you have a resolution you want to share?
You know, I don't really do New Year's resolutions.
No, I know.
But I did want to kind of go off the cuff and maybe list a few New Year's resolutions for some drivers.
Okay. We shoot from the hip now.
Yep.
All right, what do you got?
So, obviously, Connor's is to get a ride.
Yes.
I think Larry Foyt's New Year's resolution should be to not be such a dick to his drivers.
I think that's a great resolution.
Whether it'll happen, I don't know. I haven't heard from him since Krampus visited him. So, only time will tell.
He might still be in that bag.
He might still be in the underbelly of Christmas Hell. Let's see. I think Rossi's New Year's resolution is to visit more cities like he did on The Amazing Race so that he can murder more people. Yeah, spread out that body count.
Obviously, Ed Carpenter's resolution is to decide what he wants to be.
Yeah. Figure out what he wants to be when he grows up.
Come on, Ed. Make that decision.
Let's see. Marco's resolution is to
tell us
finally come clean.
Tell
his dad that he doesn't want to drive
anymore.
You can give me whatever number you want. I hate this sport.
I don't want to drive anymore, Dad. We're going to get blocked by him on Twitter one day.
You know, he blocks people super fast.
He does. Yeah. Calm down, bro.
Right? Like, he gets butt hurt so fast.
Like, people are like, and he blocked me. I'm like, if you can't take criticism,
yeah,
what are you doing in a sport?
Yeah. Like, you're a public figure.
Yeah. Just calm down.
Yeah.
Just calm down.
I mean, yeah. So I don't ever make any comments to him because I'm like, it doesn't take much to get blocked. And when we do get blocked, I want to earn it.
I know. Like,
I don't want it to be on something like just like offhanded comment.
Like, I want there to be.
I want it to be an epic
Hall of Fame.
Yes. Hall of Fame worthy. Like, burn.
This is, we will go down in the epos of Twitter history with this block.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see.
I think Zach Veach is just working on, getting some more muscle.
Yeah, he hit the gym yesterday and today for sure.
Oh yeah, that's his New Year's resolution. 50 pounds of lean muscle.
Unrealistic.
Maybe it could. I heard it.
I mean, 50 pounds total, sure. 50 additional, unrealistic.
Poor Zach Veach. I'm excited to see him, though.
I am, and he is very excited about it. I do like that about him.
That's what I love about him.
I know. He is like, giddy as can be about it.
He's Christmas morning excited.
He is, and I think that that's wonderful in an up-and-coming driver.
Yeah.
I mean, because that's how I would feel. I mean, it's the chance of a lifetime.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not excited about it, you're in the wrong sport.
I would just be smiling the whole time.
Just shitting and grin 24/7.
24/7.
Fall asleep with it on my face. Wake up with it on my face. Yeah.
I think Carlos Munoz is also resolution trying to get a ride.
I think so.
I mean, good on him for getting that 500 ride.
Yep. Yeah, I think his resolution is probably to do really well at the 500 to show he's a contender.
Get out of the car, look to Larry Foyt, and just double middle fingers. How do you like me now? I don't know how to say bitch.
Punta.
Punta. Ruins the flow of the joke.
Punta. I think... Oh, I just had somebody and I lost it. Wait. It'll come back.
Well, okay. I think Hugo's is... Their resolution is just to make a good showing with Kyle Kaiser.
Oh, that's what it was going to be. Oh. Schmidt-Peterson Motorsports. Their resolution... is to not make any more awkward press announcements about failed relationships with other vendors. Did you see the one this week?
The never-ending lawsuit that finally ended?
And they're like, we have no comment based on non-disclosure from the blah, blah, blah. Like,
who's handling their press?
Who's handling their press? Because they're handling it wrong.
Yes.
Because all that thing did was make me want to know more.
Like, now
your press release should handle in a way that you're like, oh, no big deal.
We're happy to. It's done. Everybody's glad about it. We're eager to look forward to 2018. That's how you end it.
No, yeah.
We will not be saying anything else on the matter. Don't put that on there.
Yeah. We will not be commenting based on, yeah.
Now I'm curious.
Yeah. Now I want to know.
I'm going to steal some records.
So, yeah, maybe their resolution should be to quit partnering with randos.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I mean, because how many press releases have we had from Schmidt-Peterson last year?
Oh, my God. Maybe they need to start listening to the Twitters. When everybody went, this is a bad idea.
Right?
And then they were like, no, it's fine. And then they were like, no, that was a bad idea.
That was a horrible idea. Bernie Ecclestone?
To get fucked?
Well, that's my New Year's wish for them.
Okay.
Get fucked, Bernie.
Yep.
But his resolution... is to surprise everybody and be even more misogynistic this year than he has been in the past.
I don't know if that's possible.
He's not sure either, but he's aiming for the stars. He's gonna give it a college try. I mean, he's doing a pretty good job right now, but I think he could do better.
You could go worse, buddy.
Like, I want to see him try so hard that he, like, buries himself and has to exit F1 in shame.
I think that's...
Like, I want to see him crash and burn with this. This is why I don't do resolutions, because all of mine for other people are awful things. And so I would just jinx myself if I said anything for me.
That's true. That's
it would be,
true.
Like, ensuring that it wasn't going to happen. Let's see. Who else?
Well, I feel like Will Power needs to step back out into the spotlight.
He does need to step back out.
New Garden and Pagano really had it this year. Will, come on back.
Come on back, Will.
Flip them double birds again, buddy.
I would love to see some more double birds from Will this year.
It's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
It's a beautiful sight.
It is. New Garden, I mean, I think that he's just living out what he has been since the championship, which is fuck bitches, get money.
I mean, yeah.
Like... He's living the high life right now.
Exactly.
He's just riding that high till March.
Yeah.
Then it's a new season. Then it's back to business. But
time to go.
For right now, it's fuck bitches, get money. I'm just kidding. I think he's got a girlfriend.
I think he does too, but it's still funny.
It is funny.
It's still funny. I think Simon's going to adopt the Elio hairstyle.
Oh, he's pretty close.
Yeah.
Well, and his resolution actually is... to make sure that Norman knows what a good boy he is.
That's true, yes.
Yeah.
He's such a good boy, Norman.
Norman is a very good boy.
He's a very good boy. 13 out of 10 would pet.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And he smiles on command.
Oh my God, I still can't get over
that. He poses for pictures.
I still can't get over that.
And he let me hold him.
Yeah.
I mean, that takes a lot when it's your dog is your fur baby. I mean, that was pretty cool because I don't know that I would let strangers just hold my dog.
It's hard for me.
Yeah.
People come up, can I pet
I was
your
like,
dog?
Can I hold him? He was like, oh, yes.
And the newest restraining order.
Oh, no. No, I love the French. Simon wouldn't get a restraining order.
That's true.
He's French. He would just tell me to fuck off. And I'd be like, can I bring you some good wine? Let's talk this out. And he'd be like, okay, that's fine.
He's a wino. Be cautious.
I know.
Be cautious.
Well, French wine is better.
But no, 100%.
100%.
Sorry.
And you don't get the hangover from the red wine there that you do here.
You don't.
Yeah.
Oh, wine flu.
It's a real thing.
It is.
It is a real thing. The IMS, it's New Year's resolution, as it always is.
Continue to be the GOAT.
Continue to be the GOAT.
Greatest place.
Ever.
Ever.
So, what about you? What's your white flag?
Well, I would like to actually go on record... Today is Tuesday, January 2nd.
Okay.
This will be released Wednesday, January 3rd. Team testing is January 8th. So like always, we will have this posted on Wednesday, and by Friday we will know the Ed Carpenter Road Buddy and the Dale Coyne TBD.
Oh, we will.
I just want to be the first to say that again. We're getting...
screwed. They're going to fuck us.
It's a conspiracy. Because they have to post. They have to know by now. Like, they need to know by the 8th so they can start their team. Because it's only going to be 60 days to St. Pete.
Yeah.
So, we're going to get fucked again.
God, we've gotten fucked so much this year on news.
I know.
Like,
we post.
I bet they announce tomorrow morning. Today's the first day after New Year's Day.
Yeah.
The 3rd when we release, like, it's going to be Wednesday, second day back in the office. They're going to announce tomorrow.
Like
guaranteed.
IndyCar team on Amazing Race. Like tomorrow is the day to push out IndyCar news.
Yeah, yep, it's gonna happen.
We're gonna get screwed again.
Well,
every time
we will. We'll fill you in next week.
Yeah, because we're not retaping this.
No, no.
Oh no.
No.
All right, guys. I think that's it for us.
I think that's it. All right. Have a great week. Thanks for listening, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. You know that's what's gonna happen.
Oh, guaranteed.
I'm going to be so mad. Just angry.
Yeah, Schmidt-Peterson cannot stay out of dirty deals.
Oh my God!
Like...